everyone. I'm Janine Corey from the CDC, and I have a thanks and an apology. The thanks is for making my avatar on Wyville look really good. So, better than in person. That's the beauty of electronic media. And also, the downside of electronic media is the apology, which is for making the rest of the panel sweat why I had to run and do the old-fashioned, we can't download, we can't stream, grab a DVD. So that's the benefit of being local. So I apologize all, especially to Jackie, who worked really hard to put this together. So I actually, Anne and Holly have set this up perfectly for me. As usual, you know, it's like T-ball. All I have to do is just close my eyes and swing. Because they have done, as you can see with all the metrics and the research, they have done the hard part and to make us look good in our outreach. And through their research that they just showed you, we really tried. H1N1 was a unique opportunity because it came on pretty quick. Everybody's like, yes. And with just a little bit of research and a small amount of understanding of what was going on and people's perceptions and confusions, we really wanted to utilize social media to make sure that we were getting to target audiences. And for H1N1, that was just about everybody, including new audiences that we were not used to reaching, such as college students or 19 to 24-year-olds, who have not been traditional outreach people for flu because, you know, they're college kids, they're healthy. And some of the techniques that Holly talked about, especially the SMART, and I can't repeat everything that she said because, you know, SMART speaks for itself. I can't remember it either. But the R had to do with resources and being realistic, and that was something we really had to focus on. So as far as being realistic, we thought, what can we do quickly? What can we do on pretty much a shoestring, which is a nothing budget in-house? And how can we get something that speaks to just about everybody? And that was my challenge in 30 or 60 seconds. So I'm going to show you the 60-second spot that we came in with. I'm grateful, actually, my producer, Ross Carolyn, is in the back, who helped work with me at CDC. And this was science-based. We had done some research in April. We talked to parents and pregnant women. We talked to young people. And we heard, what are their excuses? What are the barriers to getting vaccinated? And I tried to incorporate that into one spot that would speak to everybody. And I'm going to show you a second spot after that targeted to the 19 to 24-year-olds. But the idea, let's be viral about the virus. What is something catchy that you would pass to your friends, that you could embed in your Facebook site, that you would pass along, like, hey, have you seen this on YouTube? So let me show you the first one, and you can see how we used, again, just the resources we had, trying to be realistic, and partners picked it up. And I'll tell you a little bit about how that went. So let me see if I can play this. Give it a second.
I never get the flu.
My kids don't need more shots.
I don't have time.
We're all healthy.
My asthma's under control.
But I'm pregnant.
I've had the flu before. It's not a big deal.
My kids are too old for flu.
The media is exaggerating.
I can fight it naturally.
My diabetes, it's under control.
No matter how you build your excuses, H1N1 swine flu can blow your house down.
I can't believe I used up all my sick time.
I missed a week of school during finals.
Now my baby has it because of me.
The hospital? Death?
Keep your foundation strong. Vaccinate. Learn more at flu.gov.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
So we actually got very good pickup through partners. Early in the season, people did not have a lot of resources, and states had not started yet developing their own media campaigns. So we were able to get this out, not just through YouTube and CDC TV internally, but we sent out a lot of tapes to a lot of places, and a lot of state health departments, local health departments, were able to use it, and we offered a space so that they could tag it, you know, get your vaccine at the San Diego Health Department or something like that. So that was the challenge was really daunting at first, because how can I address moms and pregnant women and college students, you know, all at the same time? So I just wanted to show you an example of how it can come together in a way that's viral and useful. So we used that in many different ways. We packaged it, we repackaged it. Now I'm going to show you an example of something specific for 19 to 24-year-olds that I think you can see really utilizes this new media and plays upon the idea that things are personal online. What we heard in focus group research from 19 to 24-year-olds was that their Facebook community, these were their neighbors, this was their community. Regardless of whether somebody, you know, lived in Seattle or Sacramento or even South Carolina, all these people felt connected. So we tried to capitalize on that personal feeling. It's not coming out. Okay, this is one of those technical difficulties that you get to hum the Jeopardy theme song.
So while we're loading the second one, any other questions? We'll try to fit in one more question. Please come to the mic. Or hum Jeopardy.
I just have a quick question. Diane Singer from the University of Michigan. You mentioned you have like 55,000 fans and there's hundreds of thousands of people on Facebook. Do you set any goals for yourself by trying to get a certain number of fans per quarter or per year? And with the text messaging, I'd be interested in knowing about that as well.
We do. I mean, there are some numbers that you can kind of look at as far as success goes. So if you look at federal sites on Facebook, I think as far as agencies go, we're number two, right behind the White House. As far as friends goes, there's an astronaut that has more fans than we do, too. But and President Obama does.
To add to that, I think one thing is to look at maybe agencies that are similar to yours and look at, you know, that as a benchmark. Some of our greatest successes, though, have come as a surprise. I don't think we ever anticipated that the CDC emergency Twitter feed would get over 1 million followers. So sometimes you will be surprised by what you draw in. But I think if you are interested in setting a goal, which is a great idea, it's a great objective and something that can easily be measured, you know, look at similar organizations, see what they have. With us, we just wanted to beat this one group in particular because we had been called out in a presentation because our Facebook page was very new at the time, and we have surpassed them. So.
But I would also just real quickly, and I know Janine's ready to go, it's not just about the numbers. It's not about collecting people. It's really about the engagement. And so, you know, you may have fewer people. We have a lot less people on our Facebook page than go to cdc.gov, but we think that they're more engaged and they work more as fans. And so, you know, I think at some point we had said we monitor the click-throughs, we look at the engagement metrics that Facebook offers. You know, we really look at the community that we're building and seeing if that's successful.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We recognize that we will never be the panda sneezing. Which, if you have ever been to YouTube, then you know what I'm talking about. But again, we tried, as they said, they're trying to specifically target groups and think about what might work for them. And I think the in-depth is you're getting a lot of responses, a lot of interaction. So again, trying to keep things personal sort of sets the stage for this little chat online.
We'll be right back.
the idea here is that this is, if this works for your group, this is pretty versatile. I'm actually thinking about mimicking a chat sequence between two pregnant women to talk about CMV and some other things. And I'm obviously not the same music, not the same rapport, but the idea that it's one friend's weight talking to another. Like the mother of a two-year-old saying, hey, do you know about these vaccines? Do you know about this disease? What's going on? To try and capitalize on, they spoke about how personal and important a blogger can be or outreach. So this was just one example of trying to, you know, really utilize that kind of methodology, but it's flexible, and I'd be happy to talk with people about how to tailor it, because obviously, you know, that's more of a 19 to 24-year-old feel, but this was done very low budget, and if you have any kind of computer-friendly programming person, they can help make it work for you. And we know Moms Chat, and we know that that's influential. So these were just two examples that came up very quickly during H1N1 to try and reach out to some new target audiences. And of course, they had a lot of other H1N1 tools that we utilized.